Rudits and Laws, the podcast, we had another big, big morning. Bernie Vince, the prank, has gone to air. Rue, I've got to ask you, as the chief prankster, are you obsessed with this? Like, do you think about it day and night? You come up with ideas all the time.
Well, we're under pressure to deliver a bit of humour on this show. So, you know, that's my specialty, I guess. I can do that. But I can bring that stuff to the table.
But a good example, the Bernie Vince prank, actually seemed as though you were working on it for days. I mean, you got his manager involved.
It's longer than days. It's probably, I would say it takes a week.
What goes into it?
Well, you've got to let your mind run wild. So that can be a few drinks, or it can be, you know, a bit of your own time where you think, right, where can you get the content from? What can be funny? How are they going to buy into it? Because remember, everyone's on edge around Triple M. They know that there's a prank coming sooner or later. So you can't just roll out a stock standard idea. It's got to be sort of full meat and veggies to get them on the hook. And I thought Bernie would like to go into the jungle. It sort of looks like his cup of tea. So I got his manager to ring him and said, look, we've got some calls. This is a great opportunity. Went through the money that was involved in everything. And little did I know that a couple of years ago they'd talked about Bernie doing this. And that's what he was referring to at the start about Sally Harris. Sally Harris is the girl from Melbourne who deals with this sort of stuff. So a lot of time and effort goes into it. And generally they come out fantastically. If anyone has listened to Triple M for a long time, or even if you haven't, we're about to put up all the pranks that we've done. It's 45 minutes of absolute hilarious stuff. Most of them are dits, a little bit of Loz, a little bit of me, and now a little bit of Bernie. So if you love the prank stuff,
mine is woeful.
Check it out on the Listener app. It is absolutely gold. But there is one that I tried to do not too long ago that didn't work. And that's with Dits. And I think Dits worked it out, even though you didn't tell me in the end. But
I know what he's about to tell you. It's the only time I was actually proud of myself. I woke up straight away. I thought, oh, he didn't get me.
So just
because every other time,
Moby Dick,
I have been
the whale
useless.
He couldn't catch.
I know.
Towards the end of November, we were going off air early December. I thought, we'll send him out with a bang. And we broke the story that the government have got LIV Golf coming to South Australia. And Ditch has been all over it. He loves his golf. And he said to me several times how he'd love to play in the Pro-Am. Pro-Am's when you play with the pros. And they just have,
the day before the tournament, they team you up with a pro. And it's
hacks,
pretty exciting.
Hacks like Dits, play with the best in the world and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I wrote up a script, spent a lot of time on this one. And like I got Michael Doherty to hook in Bernie Vince, I went to Ditz's mate, Wayne Phillips, who's, you know, a golfer as
Flipper?
Well. Flipper, that's right. Yeah. So I said, Flipper, I want to do this and that and blah, blah, blah. I want to get Ditz pranked. You need to buy into it. So, you know, it made the whole thing real.
Yeah.
So we got a lady out of Sydney that was got an American accent. This is the detail, to make out she was organising LIV Golf for Greg Norman. They're organising the Pro-Am and we want to get some South Australian identities involved, and we're going to get a team of left-handers together called Mally's Molly Dukas.
Oh, wow.
Right?
This is elaborate. Yeah, it's also a great idea. Yeah, they should probably do this.
We're going to have Malinowskis, who's a left-hander, which we're going to make out he was. Wayne Phillips, who's a well-known South Australian left-hander. Ditz, who's a well-known left-hander, and Phil Mickelson, who's the world's best golfer on the tour.
Best left-hander.
And we're going to call him Mally's Molly Dukas, and we're going to talk about how we want to get him a red wine for Phil Mickelson. We've heard that there's a good one called Velvet Glove, and, and you don't know the people from Molly Dukas, do you? And Ditz would have said, yeah, matter of fact, I do. And it was going to be that Phil Mickelson actually wore a velvet glove.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we're going to go to that detail.
This is a great campaign. Whether or not it's a prank, it's just usually.
Then the next one was going to be Phil Mickelson will only play with blokes in the Pro-Am with a sub 10 handicap. What handicap have you got, Dits? I want to see if he lied because he's got a 14 handicap. Anyway, and then we're going to do, well, Greg Norman wants to do some promo because he's copped a lot of flack for selling it to Adelaide. All the other states have been craggy. We need to get some great footage from South Australia. Yep. So why don't we go over to Port Lincoln and go shark diving?
Oh, yeah.
You're not scared of water, are you, Dits?
Oh, my God.
And sharks, and get him in the shark cage with Greg Norman. Anyway.
With the shark.
Dits, for some reason, why did you catch on to this?
Because you went too hard. So Wayne Phillips rang me, and his phone call was fine. I said, yeah. And it was a pretty cool. I said, yeah, I'd love to play. No worries. Sounds good. You know, get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
My phone started ringing as soon as he hung up, and normally, if someone's trying to get hold of you, it was an unknown number.
Oh, see, that's unfortunate because that wasn't planned.
So it was an unknown number, and I looked at it, didn't answer because I always wait till it goes to voicemail if I don't know it.
Mm.
They rang 10 times, and I thought, someone's trying just a little bit too hard.
Too keen.
Flipper rang me back. Next day he goes, now they're trying to ring you. You've got to take the call. And I thought they're just a little bit keen here.
Oh, no.
And for Flipper to ring back and go, you have to take the call because they're really, really, if you don't take the call, you'll miss out. And
so it was on a Flipper bit. Stuffed
no,
it up,
he
did
didn't
he?
Stuff up. But,
nah,
the, but the lady, it was all a bit of a combination. I just thought, everyone's a bit too keen to talk to me.
Yeah, we're trying to say that it was... urgent to get it organised.
That's right. And then, because I would have thought, look, leave a message. Obviously, I'll get back to you. If I want to play in this golf thing, I would have rung you back and we'd get it happening. But, yeah, it's the only time I've ever woken
up. So, 10 times bitten, 11th time shy for you, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, well. You've caught onto it. You're unprankable now.
No, I wouldn't say that.
No.
It was just a fluke. It was a fluke.
So, yeah, there's a lot of effort.
But a lot goes in. I can see how much
work
Rue puts in.
Most of the time it works, sometimes it doesn't, but that's radio.
I don't know what's coming for me, but I know it'll happen. And I seriously walk around every day with eyes in the back of my head.
Well, the fact that when you picked up your new car, you were still looking around. Just tell us that again.
No, I went in. I seriously, right up until I got there, I was expecting you two to jump out of the bushes.
You come into the show one day and said, right, has anyone gone to Australian Motors? Because I've got a phone call. They want to give me a car. Is this a prank?
Because I'm going to get my car taken away so that I can do this. Mm. It's a big deal. I've got to get the brake pads replaced and do all this stuff.
Mm.
If this is fake, then let me know.
Fun and games here at Triple M. We've got a great culture here. We have a lot of fun. We don't do any harm. But if you love pranks and love having a laugh, check out our prank podcast that goes for 45 minutes. Trust me, if you're doing some exercise or you're going on a long drive or you're going for a long walk, you'll laugh your head off
howling
for 45 minutes.
104.7 Triple M.
Hello, Adelaide.
No one knows Adelaide like these guys. Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
First up, now, this story intrigues me because I am a little bit older than you, but I think they were the first ever punk band. We're going back to the 70s, I reckon.
Oh, Pistols. See, I...
The Sex Pistols. I think they were the first sort of real hard rock. Anyway, Johnny Rotten.
I listened to them a lot growing
up. Did you?
Yeah, huge on them.
Their one album, Never Mind the Bollocks.
Yeah, loved it. Yeah.
It was quite good, wasn't it?
It was so good, yeah.
But a bit ahead of its time. Anyway, Johnny Rotten. There were Sid Vicious and Johnny Rotten. I can't remember the rest. Johnny Rotten's now 67, wants to enter the Eurovision Song Contest. He wants to represent Ireland, and he's written a new song.
Well, hello there. Okay.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Hawaii.
Okay.
Jeez, Johnny. All journeys. Right, I turn it off.
Okay, please get rid of that.
Right, that's a no from me.
It's a no from
disgusting
me.
Disgusting.
That's right.
I think we've all been quite across the Harry's memoir, whether you like it or not. It's been jammed down our throats. But he had this famous chapter in the book about his virginity and how he lost it.
Inglorious episode with an older woman. She liked horses quite a lot and treated me not unlike a young stallion.
Oh, God.
Quick ride, after which she'd smack my rump and set me off to graze. Among the many things about it that were wrong, it happened in a grassy field behind a busy pub.
Right.
Yeah, okay, so the woman he's talking about there, her name's Sasha Woolpope. Which is a horse lady's name, isn't it? Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
And she's come out and said that this whole experience has just been horrifying. It's been humiliating. She never thought that it would get talked about like this.
Why she came out and exposed herself then?
Well, no, because people put two and two together and they've been putting articles up about
seriously,
this must be the
what's
woman.
What's wrong with her? Everyone finding out that she's
the one who took his cherry.
What's embarrassing about that?
Well, the way he describes her smacking his rump and sending him off to graze, I think,
that
is
was
probably
young stallion.
Yeah. She smacked my rump.
It could be a lot worse.
Could be, but I don't know. I wouldn't want the story of how I lost my virginity to come out in the news like that, and someone describing it in such a way. I mean, it would be pretty mortifying. Anyway, she said, but you're right, she's doing a lot of press, so maybe she's getting what she wants out of this. And also, this is my worst nightmare, okay? What? So this is something that I've had actual nightmares about. A funeral home has found that one of the people they've put in a body bag who they thought was dead is actually alive.
Oh,
and she's been in the mortuary.
Does this really happen?
It's
how
true.
Does this happen?
They've been fined about $10,000. They discovered a woman that was sent in a body bag, but she was still alive, a 66-year-old, declared dead.
Do you believe this stuff?
Yeah, it's documented. They've got, it's all been, she's still alive. She's. I don't know that she's doing great, but she's still got a heartbeat.
So where's she come from?
It's Ireland, in Ireland.
No, but like a nursing home or...
Yeah. So she was a resident at the nursing home. They thought she was dead. So
the whole way from being dead on the bed to carried out or whatever.
She's arrived at the morgue.
She hasn't coughed or spluttered or breathed.
I don't think she was conscious. Right. So she hasn't, But yeah. That's my
All right, just to finish on, a little bit of celebrity gossip. My favourite story of the morning. Margot Robbie has spoken about when she starred in The Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo and infamous sex scene.
Good flick. Yeah.
Anyway, apparently she says that he carried an e-cigarette with him all the time.
Yeah, he does.
Rarely put it down. And so they're doing this sex scene, so he just put it under the pillow. Thought, we'll leave it there for later. Like your bit of chewing gum, I suppose. Anyway, they do their sex scene.
Terrible.
He can't find his e-cigarette. And he goes, you haven't seen it, have you? It was between her bum cheeks.
Perfect. No.
She's plucked.
He's put
Margot.
It there for sure. He's
no.
Put it
there.
Margot has pulled the e-cigarette out of her bum cheeks. That's what it is. Here it is, Leonardo. What's that worth now?
Plenty.
He was just smoking a cigarette, but now he's smoking crack.
Oh. Thank you. Boom, boom.
I'll see myself out.
Yeah, the time has come to get one of the Rush Hour boys. They've been picking on us and we thought, all right, let's get back at them a little bit here. Bernie's been starring on the Rush Hour and I thought sort of by myself that I reckon he'd be good on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And I thought I would have thought he'd like to go on it potentially, Loz. Mm. So we wrote a little script up and tried to get him pranked and this is what happened.
I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here!
Hi, Bernie speaking.
Hello, Bernie. How are you? It's Michelle here from Channel 10.
Oh, how are you?
Very well. How about yourself? Good. Doing well?
Yeah, going well, thank you.
Very good. We are really keen to get you on board this year. It's going to be a huge show. We're able to go overseas again, which is great for us. How would you say percentile-wise? You're pretty keen?
Oh, yeah, I'm certainly keen. I think we spoke about this through... Well, Sally Harris, a few years ago, I'm not sure whether how long you've been there, but...
No, not too long.
Sort of slagged it a little bit. I think it was about 2 years ago.
Right.
And then it didn't eventuate.
We've noticed just a trend with you. You've grown a lot. I mean, Adelaide, you've sort of always been over, but Melbourne, you've really picked up. Do you do some radio in Melbourne as well? Is that correct?
Yeah, I do. Triple M, under the Triple M banner, but it's sort of Triple M footy, so I'm in Melbourne every weekend.
Right.
During footy season, which is... Wow. I do a Saturday show. Actually, everything I do is a lot of fun, so it's pretty lighthearted, almost a piss take for a couple of hours, generally a game on Saturday, and then a show called Bounce on Fox Footy Sunday nights, and then head home.
Tell me a little bit more about Bounce. So this is TV, is that correct?
That's, again, like a lighthearted, almost piss take of the weekend of footy. So it's like press conferences where coaches have given it to journalists. You know, backboards have fallen over on them. Like that's sort of like down that path. Yeah, I'm very lucky with what I do.
Oh, nice. Well, see, I would think that the Rub and Bounce there, they're probably the ones that have projected you into Melbourne. Which do you think is probably the stronger out of the two of those to help you out with your profile?
TV's always good because they see you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably, I would say. But then the Saturday Rub is like one of the highest rating footy shows there is. Yeah, sort of just us five sit around and try and take the piss out of each other and find out what each other's been doing. And
Nice. Your profile's just skyrocketing. It's the stats we're getting on you are really good, hence wanting to have you as part of I'm a Celebrity. Oh, you've seen the show before, have you?
Yeah.
What about entertainment sort of things like singing? Can you, like, you know, pump out a tune at the drop of a hat? Are you a bit shy in that area?
Nah, terrible singer, terrible dancer, terrible at most things, but... Yeah. I'll have a crack at everything.
Oh, very good, very good. And any real phobias that you've got running around there, you know, like spiders, snakes, certain people that we might want to put in the camp with you?
Yeah. Well, all right. Now you've said people, I've got a long list. I'm not a huge fan of snakes, to be honest.
What about the eating part of it? Because, I mean, let's face it, you've seen it before. It's quite... It's near the regions every time.
I would definitely have a crack at it. You never go. That way. But I'd, I'm actually not too bad at eating. I'm not going to sit around and go, oh, I'm going to eat that sort of shit. I'd definitely have a crack. I wouldn't be someone who goes, I can't do that.
No, that's exactly
what we're
after.
That's not a challenge either, I swear.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, that sounds good. So far as physically, how are you sitting at the moment? Because obviously people are watching you and looking. You know, you might just be in a pair of shorts or something. You know, are you looking all right at the moment?
No, my dad bod's going pretty well. So. Well, I could probably try and sharpen it up. But
Shave it up a bit.
You get it. Shave it up a bit. But I actually hear
a swirling rumour or two. You're not too shy about the kit coming off. Is that correct?
The kit? Yeah, I am the next day, but the night I do it, I'm not.
well, nearly all of us have been there. I like it. Okay, now we've got a few other people. Do you want a little sneak peek of who's probably going in at this stage? Not 100%, but a pretty firm list. I can go through a few of them.
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, so we've got, you'd be familiar with Sam Pang, Front Bar. He's 99.9% in. Do you know Sam personally?
Yeah, see, I did Nova with him in Melbourne for 5 years, I think.
He's not part of my group. How do you think he'd go?
Nah, he'd be awesome because I love his humour because he's just so harsh and blunt and if you don't like something, he'll just say it. Really honest, sort of brutal humour. I do enjoy it. I'd love to see him do some of those challenges though because he's never put in a position where he's uncomfortable.
No, true, that he tends to be his point.
Yeah, positions, he's fine with it, so... This would be good to see.
Also, there's a mixed bag here. You might, do you know Kath and Kim, Gina Riley and Jane Turner?
Yeah, they're going in.
Do you know them personally, do you?
No, I don't, but I've...
But a fan.
Just sort of know who they are, yeah.
Now, and we've got there's an asterisk next to this one, but Michael Clarke is, I mean, he was pretty over the line, but as you can imagine, she's a little wild at the moment, just between you and I. While we're talking about this, you don't have any can't park hamstring sort of things of your own, do you?
You never
come to blows with Carla or anything.
Because
I tell you what, I mean, and you know, you're already in the public eye. People will dig around and sort of try and unearth these things. So that's good to hear. No, great. There's a couple of intruders as well. I'll give you these aren't 100% locked in, but we've also got, we're looking at Ben Cousins maybe as an intruder.
Yeah.
This is a big one. I don't know if we're going to get this across the line, but Donald Trump to 48 hours. How do you actually feel about him?
I'm not strong either way with him. I think he's actually hilarious when he's in the media. I couldn't believe he's president.
Hilarious.
Coming out of his mouth. And I thought it was great entertainment value just because it didn't really affect me too much.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like if he's actually running your country, you'd probably think, what is going on here? But I just thought it was hilarious, some of the stuff he's done.
I was going to say, horrendous for America, entertaining for the rest of us. Yeah, now,
exactly.
There's actually a couple more that are going in as well, and that's... Rude Ditz and Loz, because they need to see your face when they realise that you've got pranked.
Oh no.
It's Michelle here from Triple M in Perth. How you doing? When was it that you started sort of trip and go, hang on a minute?
Well, no, I'm always wary of stuff. I'm always wary from the start.
Well, be wary of these guys. This is about the third one they've had me do. I apologise profusely.
Yeah, that's fine. No, that's all good. I get it. That's great.
Marcus Shudo texts me. Let me know when it's done. All right.
Oh, he was so good, wasn't he?
He was. He was super nice.
Yeah, he didn't pot lovely. Anyone, didn't throw anyone under the bus.
He didn't even pot Donald Trump. He was nice
he's
about everyone.
You know, he's friendly with everybody.
That's why we love him. Oh, that's why we love him.
Bernie. I feel bad now.
We just shot Bambi.
Yeah,
we did. Sorry, Bern.
Sorry, Bern.
I had nothing to do with it.
Neither did I.
My hands are clean.
Good
stuff. Me when it's done.
Beautiful weather on the weekend and a magnificent week coming up across Adelaide, about 30 degrees, not a lot of wind. There'll be people out fishing and boating and carrying on and enjoying the great state that it is. I saw a video on the week of some people going out fishing. And not sure if the bloke had been on the Cairns the night before or what he'd been up to, but he put 230 litres of petrol in his rod holder instead of the petrol tank, and it went in the bottom of his boat.
I don't make this mistake ever. They put 231 litres. They thought this was the petrol. That's hazard.
Sounds like he
must. Now, it was over $500.
Yeah, well, $2 a litre these days, so it was over $500.
Yeah. Get it out. How do you get it out?
Well, this is what they were talking about, because they were hosing the ground down. Now, I don't know if he's let his bung out and let it go on the ground. I don't know if petrol stations capture that water and it goes somewhere else, but if it just goes down the stormwater, then
not good.
That's not good at all.
Shocking.
But, yeah, so this bloke's done it. And mates of mine did it as well up at Wakery, and they had a big night the night before, and he put a couple of $100 worth of juice in, so about the same amount in the rod holder, because it's the same size hole. So I'm not trying to let him off here. You do have to be hung over to do it, but he put over 100, 200 litres in the bottom of his boat. You'd think you'd realise, wouldn't you, that it's bigger than the petrol tank, but these things happen. No different to me putting 111 litres of the wrong petrol in the car. These things happen when you're out and about.
Just relive, that was in the middle of the Nullarbor.
If you call Balladonia the middle of the Nullarbor, which it is, to get the RAA, they had to come from 2 hours away from a place called Norseman, and we were just had to park up for a while to wait for some help. But and then
all six kids in the front seat of
kids and me and Sarah and the driver in a dual cab pickup truck.
So they put your car on the back of it because you couldn't turn it on
and
drive it.
The back, the caravan on the tow bar.
Towed that as
well. Yeah, and then filled 8 of us up and then off we went to the
Had to drain the
take
fuel
it to the local repair shop because there are two tanks in a Land Cruiser, so they had to drain them somewhere.
Oh, my God.
But luckily, it didn't destroy the engine. We didn't turn it on. But when you've had boating accidents, just because you're not experience with boats.
Well, that's harsh.
Well, then you bought a massive boat. First up, not a tinny or anything. You bought a 35-footer or something.
You might as well start big.
You're how we would describe all the gear and no idea.
Yeah, that's it. Sort of that's thing. It.
You go in and you just give me everything.
Yeah.
And the guy at the store's licking his lips. He's got a big one on the hook.
I think a boat with a lot.
Yeah.
What happened to you? You got stranded somewhere for a week.
My friend Angela and I, we like going on road trips, and every single time something goes wrong, and every time kind strangers come to our rescue and help us. But we were in the Flinders, and we were in her stepdad's Land Cruiser, I think it was, or Land Rover, I can't remember, one or the other, and he got a flat, and we got stuck in Arkaroola for 6 days because...
6 days because of a flat tyre.
They had to get the tyre for this specific car. They didn't have one on hand, so they had to get it brought in, and it was over the weekend and all this stuff. And I tell you what, I reckon we kept that pub in, they're good for a couple of years.
6 days for a flat tyre.
I think the tyre mob have got to deal with the pub.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, because we also had to stay in the cabins, and they all looked related, like it was his brother's place.
There's $1,000 there.
That's hilarious.
Hey, when have you had a mishap on the road out camping or fishing or in your boat, whatever? 133353, have you ever put petrol in the bottom of your boat as well? We're going to double to go to our 2,500 show party at the Bridge Ridgeway on February the 23rd. A double for you to come along. Just tell us how you're stuffed up when you're out and about.
Yeah, tell us about your mishap. 133353 Ruditz and Loz on Triple M. A fella yesterday has put over 200 litres of petrol into the rod holder in his boat.
Oh, no.
Not the petrol tank, into the rod holder. $500 it cost him.
And then he had to fill his tank up after that.
That's right.
Let's go to Paradise. Terry, when have you had a mishap when you're out camping or out and about?
Mate, I was in the company vehicle and pulled up to a servo. And there was a sheila next to me and she was struggling getting the cap open. So I helped her get her cap open. She walked off. I continued to fill up my ute, walked in, paid, walked back out. And I went, why the hell can I smell so much unleaded fuel?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I topped up my company car full of unleaded and it was a diesel ute.
Oh, Terry. Oh, my God.
That's all right.
She must have been a hot looking sword. He just lost concentration.
Right. It's, I think, classic.
That's what happens, yeah.
Sorry, Terry, what do you got there, mate?
Yeah, so anyway, I had a hot headed boss at the time, so I rang him. He come down, I was expecting the worst, and he goes, I'm not gonna get angry at you. He goes, a week ago I filled up my boat through the rod holder.
Good on him.
300 and something litres into his boat.
Good on you, Terry. Sue at McLaren Vale, what happened to you?
Oh, my husband did the same thing with the boat. He filled up petrol through the rod holder because he was a bit doughy with the lack of sleep.
Yeah.
My son, who's a marine mechanic, obviously, he went off his chops.
Yeah.
Oh, he would. Hey, if anyone's out there and knows about service stations and stuff, what happens to the petrol? Does the petrol station collect all this contaminated water, and what do they do with it? Yeah. Get us on the text
line. Because there'd be a bit of spillage, even when you're normally just filling up petrol. There's spillage on the ground.
Yeah, I reckon they'd have to have things in place. 0488 51 0047, or you can ring on 133353.
We've got Joel from Hallett Cove. What was your sort of Russell Coit moment?
Morning, guys. We just before Christmas, we bought our son his 8 little tinny for Christmas, and we thought we'd go test it out. And we took it out at Port Noarlunga. I flooded the little 4-stroke engine in it, and we drifted about 700 metres out. But my missus was 37 weeks pregnant at the time.
Oh, no.
And we've had to row back in because I couldn't get the thing started. Past the Port Noarlunga jetty, and I reckon everyone had their phones out taking videos and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
At least you didn't have the baby out in the jetty.
That's right. Bit embarrassing for you, Joel. You got there, Ruth?
Let's go to Morfettville. G'day, Leah. What's your Russell Coit moment?
Coming from Morfettville, heading to Edenhope with a runner. Stopped at Tintinara to get fuel. Said to my son, you put the fuel in, I'll go to the loo.
Well, you had a horse on the back, did you?
Yeah, had a horse with a little pony to keep it company. It wasn't the best of travellers. Went in to pay for the fuel, and she says, unleaded, and I say, no diesel.
Oh,
and
no.
She's like, no, unleaded.
No.
And I was like, no, it's definitely diesel. And yes, he'd put unleaded in, and luckily, three lads, farmers, probably pulled up pretty hungover from the night before, I would say, in a ute. I managed to give them $50 and a few Powerades, and they siphoned it with a hose.
Oh, good.
They got it all off the top, and we filled her back up with diesel. We made it to Edenhope with about 40 minutes before our race and ran fourth.
Oh, oh, that's all right. Well done.
Good story.
Good on you, Leah.
Are you allowed to tell us who you train with or for or not, or do you want to keep it a secret?
I trained myself, so it was our own horse. Me and my son had a bit of a freeloader.
You still training or?
Yeah.
Have you got anything at the moment? Anything we should back at the moment?
No, we ran another freeloader on the weekend and it finished 20 length last.
Oh, no. All right. Well, when you've got one, ring on a Friday, Leah. Yeah, let us know.
All right. Thanks, Leah. Hey, who do you want to give the double to come to our 2,500th show, guys?
Well, Terry's story was pretty good.
Get on you, Terry.
They all were. I mean, Joel was good, and then Leah.
Terry can come along to the Bridgeway Hotel for our 2,500th show celebration. Loz is putting on the party. There's going to be music. There's going to be comedians. It's going to be a massive night. It's on a Thursday night.
I've just been told, everyone, Terry, Sue, Joel, Leah, you're all getting tickets, all right?
What?
Yeah, they're all coming along.
Gee whiz. All right, that's awesome.
Make sure you put the right fuel in your car.
That's right. Yeah, exactly right.
We'd like to see you there.
So we'll see you all there on the night. Now, our tradie, our singing tradie, Jimmy Vorza, was on Australian Idol last night. But, Loz, I want to go back to last week when we had him on and And Roo introduced him.
Don't do that. I feel terrible. We have. His name's Jimmy Wowser, and he joins us now. G'day, Jimmy.
Jimmy Wowser. Oh, but to be fair, though, even the best in the business can get it wrong.
But good stretch in the front. Masciutio.
Even Bruce McAvaney can make the Ricciutio.
There's no I after the team.
What year was that, you reckon?
That was in probably 1993, I would suggest.
Early doors.
Well, in the end, they got to know who you were.
That's right. Now, that'll be the same with Jimmy.
Let's go back to last night. Jimmy starred on Australian Idol.
I'm saying yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Being on that job site is a place that you do not belong. You need to be right here on Australian Idol.
Welcome to the top 50.
Yeah.
Fuck you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, let's have a listen to his performance last night.
Because you give me something that makes me feel all right. This could be nothing, but I'm willing to give it a try. Please give me something, because someday I might know my heart.
How good.
You nervous? Is your throat squeezing shut?
My heart is...
Your heart's pounding, your throat's tight.
It is.
I can hear that, but I can hear gold in there.
Yeah.
I know you've been working all day, you got them tight ass shorts on. And things aren't going to be easy, right?
Yeah.
Bit of nerves.
I got sweat dripping down the side of my head.
Let's get him on. Well done. Congratulations, Jimmy Vorza. Good on you, mate.
Good morning, Ditz, Loz, and Mark Rosotto.
Hey, sorry, Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, I do want to apologise. I'm not that good with the English language, so I apologise, mate.
You're right. All good. It's everyone's calling me Jimmy Wowser now.
Good on you. So you got a new nickname on the website.
That's it.
At least they're talking about you, Jimmy.
That's it. Any press is good press.
That's right.
How did you go? What was it like? How nervous were you? What was the experience like?
Look, the experience was just crazy. Like, I can't even put to words. Like, as you guys know, you guys plucked me off the work site, and same with Oz Idol. It's just not in my general day-to-day to do something like that. And, absolutely crazy. I'm still buzzing.
Loved the song choice. And I was listening. I thought you sounded fantastic. Didn't sound too nervous at all, but... Explain the physical reaction of being there. What was happening? You said you were sweating. Did your head get hot? Did you feel out of body? What was going on?
Well, truth be told, like, when I watched it last night and listening to the judges talk, I honestly can't even remember a single word they said. Yeah. So it's good to watch it back. Because, it was like a whirlwind of emotions. And, my hands were going all over the place. Yeah. Twiddling my thumbs, so it was just crazy.
So you're through to the top 50. What happens now?
We go to Sydney,
and
I compete with 49 other superstars. Mm-hmm. So me personally, whatever happens, you know. Like, I'm sure I've seen some of the other people getting through, and that's just going to push me to be better. So
all right,
it's going to shake the nerves.
Yeah, and what about the rules? Because there are so many different shows on TV now. With this one, are you going to pick what you sing and what the accompaniment is, or do you get told?
No, they're good. It's really good. So you do get a lot of freedom in Australian Idol. So song choices they're pretty much mine. So
Having your own little moments when you're actually dreaming my life could seriously be about to change, or are you trying to keep your feet on the ground?
Nah, I've got to keep a lid on it. At times, I was walking around yesterday and I thought, hang on, like, is this a dream? And it's surreal, because for me, like, it's just been a lifelong it's a dream of mine to be singing on stages.
Go and get it, mate. Yeah. Go for it. It's right in front of you, and you couldn't be at a better place to do it. So give it your best shot and back yourself in and have some confidence.
Absolutely. So,
you're back on the tools
I really
today?
Appreciate it.
Back on the tools?
Nah, I've chucked a sickie.
No!
You are a wowser.
I had a couple cans last night to celebrate the TV debut.
Good on you.
Don't forget where you come from, Jimmy.
Nah, of course not.
Yeah.
Good on you, Jimmy. Thanks for joining us, mate, and we'll keep watching you through the top 50. Good luck.
Thanks heaps. Good on you. Chat to you later.
There he is, Jimmy Vorza, or as Roo calls him, Jimmy Wowser. No. Now, can we let's hear him sing one more time, shall we? This was last night. Very, very good.
Because you give me something that makes me feel all right. This could be nothing, but I'm willing to give it a try. Please give me something, because someday I might know my heart.
He's very good. There he is. Jimmy Vorza, Roo, Dits and Loz on Triple M.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Roo, Dits and Loz here, it's Triple M Breakfast.
The place to be in 2023.
Oh, hello on this Monday morning after a great weekend. Hey, I've got to say, we've got some magnificent weather on the way too.
Beautiful week coming up, all late 20s, early 30s. Going to be a perfect week out and about. Loz will be down the beach.
Big time.
Hey, a real treat this hour at home with the Ricciutos. Now, we haven't heard this for years and years and years. This is in the best ofs because we're building up to our 2,500 shows and our special party. We're asking listeners to tell us what they want to hear, and we've had a lot of requests for At Home with the Ricciutos.
So
yes, Nick, my son Nick, when he turns into a bookie at school, that's what it's all about.
Melbourne Cup Day.
Yeah, we've got the rumour mill coming back as well. Pressure test later on. The prank that we got Bernie Vince with, we're going to drop that at 8:15. Don't go anywhere. That'll be funny as well. So we've got plenty happening here today.
Yeah, we have indeed.
I had a bit of a weird weekend. I've had a weird week for me. I have not had one alcoholic drink since Saturday week ago. So
really?
Pardon?
That's about 9 days. Now, I know the people out there who don't drink it, I know it's not a big accomplishment, but over the festive season and everything, I've been giving it an almighty nudge, but I haven't had a drink for
on purpose or have you just not?
On purpose.
Same for me.
You haven't had a drink for a week?
Well, no, for the weekend.
Because I saw you on Thursday.
You haven't had a drink for the weekend? What did you do Friday?
No, I had a drink Friday, but then I didn't drink for the weekend. Friday's not the weekend.
So what you're saying is you haven't had a drink in 2 days?
Yeah, all day Saturday and all day Sunday.
I'm talking about a week. You said Saturday, Sunday.
Well, I did a weekend.
Friday is part of the weekend.
No, it's not. Friday's a work day.
Friday's definitely
Friday
a weekend.
Afternoon.
I had a few Friday.
Friday's weekend.
Loz, is Friday the weekend?
Friday is a weekend.
Wait, when I'm not finishing at 9 o'clock Friday morning, it's still a work day.
Yeah, for the people who actually work, it is. But at clock off on Friday, then it becomes the weekend.
So all you're telling us is when you went to bed last night, you haven't had a drink since then, basically.
Okay, I haven't had a drink from when I went to bed last night to when I got here this morning. Didn't drink all weekend.
I don't know that that's really worth mentioning.
Yeah, good.
Anyway, are you feeling good, Roo?
I slept a lot. Jeez, I slept a lot.
Well, there might be something in it.
Yeah, I was tired. Is everyone anyone else tired?
Yes. I slept for 11 hours on Friday.
There's this thing about last week being the first week of school kids going back. A lot of parents only just went back to work last week after the holidays.
Yeah.
So there could be that big first week build up.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just us or everyone out there. Anyway.
Okay, favourite segment on a Monday morning. Roo likes to tell us what he learned.
Yes, and as I said before, I hadn't been drinking on the weekend, so I watched a little bit of TV, and I finished off with the wife watching Mr. In-Between.
Oh, I love it.
Which I've hardly watched anything on Netflix, or this was on Fox, I think, actually. Anyway, we watched, there's about three series or two series. Watched it, fantastic. I loved it, sort of right up my alley, that sort of show. And it's got an incredible sort of backstory to it, I guess. The star of the show is Ray Shoesmith, who's his real name, Scott Ryan. He was driving taxis in Echuca and delivering pizzas, all this sort of stuff, and wrote the script over a long period. And obviously it's been a huge success. Most people have watched it. I'm late to the party of watching it. But the news is now that couple of big Hollywood gurus, Quentin Tarantino, and a bloke who I hadn't heard of before, but he's super famous by the sounds of it, Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah.
Who's done a heap of big shows
Bruckheimer, Top Gun, you're talking
Beverly Hills Cop,
Black Hawk Down,
Pirates of the Caribbean, The Rock, all this sort
he's
of
done
stuff.
Maverick.
So Quentin Tarantino, we know he's done, you know, huge stuff as well, Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, all that sort of stuff. the little fella from Echuca, Mr. In-Betweens, might be going worldwide.
You're joking.
Yeah, they're looking
I've seen Mr. In-Betweens.
They're looking at his new script now.
Yeah, really?
Very, very closely. Yeah. And he could go from pizza delivery boy to
international superstar.
Mm.
Just a little fact to add on to that. So Mr. In-Between came out and it's obviously very brilliant and successful in Australia. But what happened was Helen Mirren, you know Helen Mirren?
Yeah.
Famous, she played the Queen.
British
her husband's a director. Yep. They saw it somehow, got in contact with him and got him a Hollywood producer. Like it was, he's literally like a... one of those stories where you just think it's never going to happen to you and he's plucked out of nowhere.
He was living in a house with alcoholics and junkies, who he said, lock on the door, just, you know, and just said to someone, I'm going to actually be famous. Like, and the bloke thought he was, he was on the gear that the junkies were on.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great series and watch this space. He might be more to
good story.
I found out something about birds. So you've got a bit of bird. Yeah, birds. We all know what they sound like. Apparently, they sound different in the city than they do in the country. So this is true. This is true.
What?
So not.
What do you mean?
They are a product of their environment, and in the country, because things are relaxed and slow.
Do they? Yeah, they go a bit slower.
They've got a slower chirping.
It's the same with people.
In the city,
people are different.
Yeah, they mimic the sounds of traffic. They mimic the speed of the what's that called? The crossing noise and everything.
They keep
up with the pace of the hustle and bustle, and they chirp differently in the city.
Who
than
told
they,
you that?
It was a scientist on a documentary. I can't remember their name, but yeah.
Well, humans are.
Yeah. Did you guys have any bird songs that you can do?
Songs?
Like bird noises?
No, not really.
I can do the kookaburra.
Are you serious?
Again.
Where have you plucked that from?
Well, sitting on the riverbank, that's what you hear. I love kookaburras.
So
me too.
Yeah.
I've never heard you do that before.
Out of nowhere.
You haven't been on the back of the houseboat enough.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
That was brilliant.
Anyway, so bird, you got country and city birds.
Yeah, you got country and city birds. They're the same as people.
Cool.
Wow. All right. That's what we learned. Loz and Roo, I don't know about you, but I'm a bit concerned about if there'd be another world war. And that's what some commentators are kind of saying over the relationship between the US and China at the moment.
Well, everything's obviously very tense and delicate and you have to be diplomatic about things. But China had this spy balloon floating around. And I think we've got a bit of audio about it.
We know that it's a surveillance balloon. We do know that the balloon has violated U.S. airspace and international law.
What the United States is trying to do is to create a ring of steel around China. And, of course, the Chinese don't like this.
We've conveyed this directly to the PRC at multiple levels. Not going to be able to go into specific locations again other than to say it's moving eastward at this time.
All right, if you didn't see it, basically a balloon was shot down over Carolina, one of the Carolinas. They think it might have been a spy balloon, could have been a weather balloon, but anyway, they're poking the bear. There's no doubt about that. Channel 7's US correspondent on the line, Tim Lester. Tim, we've had 24 hours to absorb this story. How serious does everyone think it is?
Well, it's certainly serious if we worry about how relations are between the two greatest superpowers, our great trading partner, China, and our great security ally, the United States. The effort to repair relations was supposed to be underway this weekend with talks. And as it turns out, we've seen the United States put an air-to-air missile into a Chinese balloon. Both sides angry now, frankly. The US angry because a weather balloon, not necessarily a weather balloon, a supposed weather balloon that they believe to be a surveillance balloon, parked itself, if not directly above, almost above one of its three nuclear silo storage sites on an air base in Montana. So the US became quite upset about that. And China, of course, having to watch, if you like, the disgrace of having a US missile blow up a Chinese balloon on live television, is furious about that. So things aren't great.
But, Tim, it didn't just go over the USA by 1 metre, did it? It went across a majority of it. But then surely wouldn't America be on the phone or however they communicate with China and saying, what are you doing? This is way over. It's been here for days. Get rid of it. You're invading our airspace. But surely they would have warned them long enough. How could China have a go at the USA for this?
Well, good question. The answer is they did repeatedly. I think they'd seen balloons like it before, so weren't particularly concerned until it got close to that Montana nuclear intercontinental ballistic missile silo field. Then the US got sharply more serious and grumpy about it, as you'd expect they would. China claims it had very little control, but a lot of experts now are saying, come on, seriously, they had control over the balloon. They were just needling the US, thinking the US wouldn't call their bluff because they wanted to keep the peace talks on track. Well, the dog has growled at them. The US has very much called their bluff, made an international issue of it, but superpower relations in the meantime rock bottom.
In the US, has the Chinese embassy or any of their foreign ministers reacted or said anything publicly?
No, they don't tend to, frankly. They leave messages to China's foreign ministry in Beijing as a rule. And both China's foreign ministry over there and a Chinese defense spokesman have reiterated this notion that China is reserving the right to respond, particularly in future cases, as it sees fit. So that's a kind of a terse, you want to play the game that way, then okay, we've noted it and we will too. But probably we won't see much more in the short term, except, of course, they're now searching the wreckage just off the coast of South Carolina. The US Navy's got divers down, and it will be very interesting to see what they bring back from that.
Yeah,
for
sure.
If we ever find out.
All right. Good on you, Tim. Thank you. We can see Tim's report on the 7 News tonight. Tim Lester, US correspondent. I'll just leave you with this, too. What if we sent a balloon over China?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
How would that go, do you reckon?
I mean, it's just international air. You can't. You've got to expect.
They're just poking the bear.
Yeah, playing games.
104.7 Triple M. Stay cool with an Automasters aircon service. Call 1300 Automasters.
Rumor?
What rumor?
Hey, have you heard?
Have you heard?
Every morning at 7:40 a.m. hear what's happening in Adelaide first. The Rumor Mill.
Okay, please get involved. 1-3353. You can win $1,000 for your rumor. Also on the text line.
Yeah,
we've
got one on the text line. Didn't want to come on air, but the 36ers, which they got knocked out on the weekend.
Yes.
And they've missed the finals 5 years in a row. I think that is right. 36ers are going to undertake a significant external review with the focus on culture. Culture issues didn't go when the... I think someone left not long ago.
You remember their star player got sacked during the year.
Yes, and there's disgruntled local players, apparently. That says here the coach is in question given high expectations and investment made this year. Now, apparently they spent a huge amount of money off court.
Right.
Is that right? Okay. That's watch this space for the 36ers, see if that comes out in the papers the next couple of days, that there will be an external review, which you'd probably expect.
Yeah, definitely.
Missed the finals for five years in a row.
All right, I said I got a good South Australian story. Now, Russell Crowe, as actors from our part of the world go, they don't come any bigger.
No, you're right.
And Loz, do you know he's got a new movie out? It's just come out.
Poker
Face, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's got one of the Hemsworths in it. Looks pretty good. Yep. Should be on Netflix, I think.
Okay. Now, you know, we like to plug friends of ours from time to time, you know, look after them. Well, Roo and I have had an association with Molly Duca for a long, long time. We enjoy drinking the wines, and it's very, very good wine. Sarah Marquis, who's the owner and winemaker, I was chatting to her over the weekend, and she made me aware of this story, which is just blowing me away because I am a parochial South Australian, and I love, you know, when local companies do well.
Sure, yeah.
This is in the Russell Crowe movie Poker Face.
You do know there are other wines in the world beside Hensky and Penfolds.
Yeah, I have a rule with wine. Don't buy it unless you're going to drink it. But I knew you would say something like that, so small vineyard, McLaren Vale Shiraz. That's... Velvet glove. Salute, it's been too long.
Cheers, lads.
Now, so apparently they're sitting in this flash wine cellar in the movie, and he's got all the great wines, and he mentions Penfolds and Henschke's and whatever, which are top-notch.
Yep.
But the Velvet Glove is Molly Duca's top wine.
Yeah.
And it is magnificent. It's beautiful. Anyway.
But how much it costs?
2 to 400? Yeah, it's up there.
Mm.
But it's a good wine. Anyway, Sarah has sold it. It's on the back of this movie,
yep.
People all over the world
yep.
have contacted Molly Duca. Velvet Glove has flown out the door.
Yeah.
It's gone. Now, isn't that incredible?
It's good for South Australia. But how's that? Three wines they're talking about are all South Australian.
Oh, yeah. We're the best.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but we're the best in the world. Like, the wine is just second to none. Yeah. And everyone's starting to know it. And it's, you know, the fact that that just rolled off his tongue so easily.
Mm.
But this shows the power. And I think anyone who sort of thought the Sam Smith thing was a waste of money or that influencers don't work or that endorsements are a waste of time.
Yeah.
That's just exactly how
there's
it works.
A glaring example.
That's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
You have the right person endorsing you.
Yeah.
Meghan Markle wears a top that sells out all over the world.
People were angry because of Sam Smith. You had people with 10 followers there instead of Russell Crowe
sure.
with a worldwide movie.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But it just shows it is a powerful thing.
Yeah. Oprah.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, as I said, good South Australian story, I think. If you've got a rumour, let us know. 133353 or what's the Automasters text line?
0488851047.
And you could win $1,000 thanks to Automasters.
Roo and Dits have been together at Triple M for so long, they've racked up a ridiculous amount of shows.
100 billion.
Well, not that many, but it's about to hit 2,500. Loz presents...
Yeah, baby.
...the Roo and Dits 2,500 shows celebration. Thanks to Automasters, AutoCamp, real-time video reporting direct from your Automasters technician.
Okay, so this is, once again, thank you to Automasters. You take such good care of us. 2,500 show celebration at the Bridgeway. We're getting you guys to tell us your favourite bits that have happened over the years so we can relive them. Mm. We've actually got Shane from Gawler South on the line. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Good, yeah. Shane.
Good, Shane.
Now tell me, Shane, what's something that stood out to you as a long-time listener?
At Home in the Ricciardos, yes. Every Monday morning, it yep. was the funniest stuff ever. We all gathered around the radio every morning, every Monday morning, and... Young Nick being a bookie was one that stood out for me. We had us all on the floor in stitches. It was hilarious.
All right. Well, should we relive that memory?
Well, let's do it right now.
Yes, please.
At home. What will it be? With the Ricciutos.
Hey, Sarah.
Oh. Yes, love.
How do you think the show's sounding?
Great, love.
Did you like the bit I did on the Melbourne Cup when I told that horse joke?
Yes, no, that was funny.
I didn't tell a joke, you didn't listen.
Oh.
You're going to have a bet on the cup.
Oh, yeah.
Which horse?
I don't know yet.
I can give you a tip if you like.
Okay.
Who shot the barman looks okay.
Yeah.
Willing foe could be worth a little bit.
Right.
You probably get some good odds if you hunt around.
Yeah, I've got somebody.
Who have you got?
Someone.
Here they come.
Hi, Daddy. Morning, Daddy. Hi, Daddy.
G'day, everybody. You excited about the Melbourne Cup?
No.
No, it's an adult pastime. If you gamble, what do you have to do?
Gamble responsibly.
Gamble responsibly.
Responsibly.
What does that mean?
Don't know.
No, that's the trouble. Neither does anybody else.
Talking to them about gambling and horse racing.
Yeah, you're right. You kids don't need to know about that stuff. You're too young. Hey, according to my arithmetic, there's one of you missing.
It's Nick.
Who?
Nick.
What number is he?
Number 2.
Where is he?
He's in his bedroom, Daddy.
Well, what could he be doing that keeps him from seeing his dad?
He's talking on the telephone.
What do you mean he's talking? Right, I'm going to see what's going on.
All right, I can give you 10 to 1. $30, I'll take it. Bye. Hello, this is Nick. Yes? Lucia Valentina, it's $7 at the moment. What are you after?
What the hell is this?
Wait a minute. Daddy, I'm just doing something.
I think I know what you're
all
doing.
All right, the best I can do is fours. If you don't...
No, I can't do that now. My daddy's here. Take it or leave it. $10, cheapskate, bye.
I don't know where you get this from. Must be from your mother.
Daddy, I gave Mummy a good deal on who shot the barman.
I can't believe you're doing this.
Sorry, Daddy.
That's all right. Listen, what can you do for me on number 5, protectionist?
Well...
there's probably a fair few of those we could replay. Text on 0488851047 or ring on 133353 if you've got a memory that you want us to replay leading into February 23 at the Bridgeway.
Yeah, Shane from Gawler South, thanks for the suggestion. You can join us on the night as well. All thanks to Automasters. So we'll see you at the party. A pressure test not far away. You can win $500. And then the big prank with Bernie coming up as well. Ruditz and Loz on Triple M.
But right now, it looks like we've got a caller on the line. It's Tomo. G'day, Mark Tomo Thompson. How are you?
Morning, guys. How you going, all right?
Good, Tomo. What are you ringing in for?
Well, I heard Ditz just talking before, probably about an hour ago, that he had a bit of a dry weekend, Saturday, Sunday off the piss. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
So he says.
I think he might have made up for it Friday night, though, was my mail.
All right. Uh-oh. Let's listen to what he said at 7 o'clock first. I have not had one alcoholic drink since Saturday week ago. So
really?
Pardon?
That's about 9 days.
Same for me.
You haven't had a drink for a week?
Well, no, for the weekend.
Because I saw you on
Thursday. You haven't had a drink for the weekend. What'd you do Friday?
No, I had a drink Friday. But then I didn't drink for the weekend.
Friday's
a work day. That's not the weekend.
Tomo, what can you add to this?
Well, I just worry that Friday might have crept into Saturday, Rupert.
Oh, what?
Because it is my mail that Saturday morning, Ditz walked an hour and 20 minutes from Lockleys to Triple M to get his car.
Yeah. That was Saturday.
What, had a sleepover till Sunday?
No. That was Saturday morning. I walked in and I happened to run into the bloody boys doing the Saturday morning show, didn't I?
Oh, no.
I ran into
Callum Ferguson in the car park.
Didn't have money for an Uber.
He said, what are you doing here? I said, well, no, a bit of exercise.
Oh,
was.
Okay. Or just walking it off.
Walking it off.
You walked for an hour and a half on Saturday morning?
Yeah, because I'm an athlete.
You'd have been as sore as hell.
Yeah, I was. I hobbled the last bloody 20 minutes.
You'd have looked like Michael Clark with his hamstring.
Bloody hell.
Good on you, Tomo. That's what we need.
Good boy.
Keep him honest.
Yeah. No, but it meant I drank Friday.
He'd gone from not having a drink for a week to not having a drink for a day.
No.
By the end of the conversation.
That was Friday. And yeah. I parked my car here Friday at lunchtime and did the right thing.
Oh, you.
And I came back and got it Saturday.
God, you're a good boy.
So I'm very, very grateful and lucky I picked up the keys to a fresh Vitara from Suzuki in the City.
Suzuki in the City?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Get your wheels from Suzuki in the City. Friday.
Did you have to sing the song when you picked it up?
Oh, mate, I would have done anything. I said, do you want me to do a dance? What do you need? Went and saw Steve and Dylan, Australian Motors Group. Great people, so nice. And just like...
Haven't they done their homework on you?
Well, this is the thing, okay? Like, the whole time I was there, I just kept thinking, oh, my God, Rue's going to pop out of a bush. Like, you've been pranked. Frank Sinatra.
So this is your first ever new car,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, and I was being shown all the way the car works, all the buttons and everything, and... Like, I've been driving around in a 1996 RAV4 for a year. So this thing has – the only thing – it's the windscreen wipers, that's the most fandangled thing on it, you know. So this thing's like got all these – you can put it in this mode and this mode and all this stuff. And I'm sort of
beach
trying –
Beach mode. You can get –
Beach mode, sport mode and snow.
Is it forward
drive? Yeah, it's all-wheel drive, I think.
All-wheel drive,
All-wheel drive.
Oh, you'd be cruising around on the beach.
But because I was trying to take it all in – I missed a few, you just sort of don't sort of, anyway. So they show Ray, the social media guy, he's like talking me through all this stuff and all this information's going in my head. And then they go, all right, there you go. Here's the keys, drive off. And they're standing there watching you to drive off. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, just don't panic. So I hop in, pop my jacket on the front seat, sit down.
Keep it clean.
And then I sort of turn a car on, which is a button, not a key turn, which is just crazy for me. Yeah. And I look down and I can't see a handbrake.
There's no handbrake.
Well, I went, it must be one of those ones that doesn't have a handbrake. It's got a button or something. So I look up at them and Steve's standing there looking at me. Mm. He's just giving me the keys to this brand new car. And I'm going, does it have a handbrake? And they go, yeah. And I realise my jacket's just covering the handbrake.
No.
So I pull the jacket off and I went, oh, shit. I went, oh, yeah, I see it now. I wasn't sure if it was one of the... Anyway, so I pull the handbrake down and start to roll out, and I can just see their faces. You know when people go from going, this is great, to what have we done? It was a bit of, but anyway, in love with it.
What colour?
It's like a sort of goldy, orangey colour. It's, I would, I, it's not
well,
something I would have...
sell it?
No, I think, it, I think they gave it to me because it's a special... No, but
like Fanta.
I think... You know when you wouldn't pick something for yourself, good, but then you get it and you're like, actually, I love this. Mm. And so I keep looking out my window and looking at it on the street.
Oh, good on you.
Good on well you,
done, Oz.
Thank you, guys. I'm just so chuffed.
Anyway. Right. Well done. Look after it.
All right. I will. I will.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz. Weekdays when you wake up or anytime on the Listener app. The show that was. The show that was.
8.52 it is here on Triple M.
Yeah, the show that was, which is a bit of a different one today because at the top of 7 o'clock we talked about this. I have not had one alcoholic drink since Saturday week ago. So
really?
Pardon?
That's about 9 days.
Same for me.
Oh. That's
you haven't had a drink for a week? Done it.
Well, no, for the weekend.
Because I saw you on Thursday.
You haven't had a drink for the weekend? What did you do Friday?
No, I had a drink Friday. But then I didn't drink for the weekend.
God, that was top of 7 o'clock where we just recapped what we'd all been up to. And then we got a call at 8 o'clock.
Well, I just worry that Friday might have crept into Saturday, Rupert.
Oh, what?
Because it is my mail that Saturday morning... Zitz walked an hour and 20 minutes from Lockleys to Triple M to get his car.
Yeah. That was Saturday.
What a sleepover till Sunday.
No. That was Saturday morning. I walked in and I happened to run into the bloody boys doing the Saturday morning show, didn't I?
Oh, no.
You walked for an hour and
I ran
half.
Into Callum Ferguson. In the car park.
Didn't have money for
an Uber. He said, what are you doing here? I said, well, no, a bit of exercise.
Oh, okay. Or just walking it off.
All right. So that was 8 o'clock. Yeah. Now we got the 8.55 update. We got Mike Dobbin from McGain Real Estate on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Oh, no.
Is there more to this story that Ditz has conveniently forgot to tell us about?
I'm just going to grab him. Hang on.
Oh, he's coming on.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Computer's frozen.
He's a computer frozen.
Oh, what a shame. What a shame he can't come on. Oh,
hang on.
Oh,
we've got Mike Dobbin from McGain Real Estate. Mike, is there more to the story?
Yeah, there's a little bit more to the story.
What do you mean? What is it?
Well, you thought Friday was the big one. I had lunch with him on Thursday, and we got through 9 bottles.
We did not. Hang
nine
on.
9 bottles of what?
Oh, mainly Pinot, I think.
Oh.
Mike, can I ask, was that before I saw you at the cinema that night?
That was a Thursday, so we saw you on the Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't
Wednesday,
not tiddly then either. So
actually, that's a good point. I did forget that. He had a big one on Wednesday.
Oh,
so, it was a Wednesday, a Thursday, and a Friday.
When I said to him this morning, Mike, that I'd had a quiet weekend, he goes, yeah, I just feel fantastic as well.
Yeah.
He's had a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
He had to have Saturday, Sunday off or he'd pass away.
Call out there, 1-3-3-5-3. We were with Ditz on Tuesday.
No.
Mike, I just want to ask you, do you ever worry that you know too much and that you'll become a liability one day?
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit more nervous. I mean, I really didn't want to come on, but, you know.
Yeah. You sound like you've lost your voice yourself.
How's your voice going? What were you doing yesterday?
Well, I went out last night for dinner, actually.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right, mate. Well, thanks for keeping him honest because, you know, we need to do that.
Thanks very much.
Mm. Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
Good luck
to
everyone at
McGain. All right, that's the show. That was a little bit of a different one. It's just make sure you tell the full story.
I did tell the story.
Yeah, part of it.
There were a couple of gaps.
We'll catch you tomorrow, everyone. Have a great day.
Grumpy old men to join us tomorrow. Who else do we have on a heaps good quiz tomorrow as well.
Yep.
All right, we'll see you then.